Even though he's not here, we'd like to thank Mr. Fuller for sponsoring this share. I want to talk about the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. There's some very, very interesting things in the first few psukim. But first, let's understand the psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Moshe, V'ata Tetzaveh es B'nei Yisrael, you should command the B'nei Yisrael. V'yikhu Eilecha, and they should take for you, they should bring to you, Shemen Zayezuch, pure olive oil, Kassis, squeezed, Lamor, for light, for the menorah. Lahalos Ner Tamid, so that the light of the menorah could be lit. And then he goes on saying where they'll do it and who will do it and so on. That's the first two psukim of Parshas Tetzaveh. The Chasam Sofer brings a very, very, very interesting thing. B'shem the Yalkut Reuveni. He says, if you look at the last word of Parshas Truma, is the word Nechayshas, copper. Nun Ches Shin Sof, Nechayshas. And the first word of Parshas Tetzaveh is Ve'ata, and you, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know that there's a concept that the Sfarim talk about called the concept of Gilgulim. And the concept of Gilgulim is something that's a little bit beyond our comprehension, but the idea is that sometimes a person's neshama returns to the world and inhabits another person. Like, according to some people, when it says that Pinchasu Eliyahu, when it says that Pinchas was Eliyahu, it doesn't mean that he was actually Eliyahu Anovi, it means that his neshama returned in the body of Eliyahu Anovi. There's this concept that someone could be the Gilgul of somebody else. And usually it's a continuation of that person's avoida, or fixing up mistakes that person made. So the Chasam Sofer brings, Nechayshes is the names Noyach and Sheis. Nechayshes, Noyach and Sheis. Sheis was Adam HaRishon's son. After Cain killed Hevel, Adam had Sheis. And Noyach, we know Noyach was the one who's him and his family was saved from the Mabel. So Sheis was Nizgalgal in Noyach. And Noyach was Nizgalgal in Moshe Rabbeinu. So Nechayshes ve'ata. Noyach Sheis ve'ata, that's you. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. The Neshama that was Sheis and then was Noyach is now Moshe. Nechayshes, Noyach Sheis ve'ata. That's you. That's what the Chasam Sofer brings. So obviously the Torah is not comprised of a bunch of arbitrary remazim. If this remez to the fact that Moshe was a Gilgal of Noach is dafka over here, the end of Parshas Truma, the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, there's some message here leading into Parshas Tetzaveh that for that message it's important for us to know that Nechayshes Ve'ata, that Noach Sheis, that the Neshama of Noach and Sheis, that's the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Baal HaTurim in the beginning of Parashat Tetzaveh is Meir. He says an observation that from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was born until the end of the Torah, you won't find a single parasha that does not mention the name Moshe except for Parashat Tetzaveh. Parashat Tetzaveh is the only parasha from Parashat Shemais until the end of the Torah. It doesn't say somewhere in the parasha the name Moshe. It refers to Moshe, and you do this, and you do that, referring to Moshe. But it doesn't say out the name Moshe. It doesn't say it anywhere in Parashas Tetzaveh. Why not? So the Baal HaTurim explains that when Klal Yisrael did the Egel, when they worshipped the Egel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, let me destroy Klal Yisrael, and I'll make you into a great nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, either save Klal Yisrael, if you're not going to save Klal Yisrael, mecheni no mi sifrcha asher kasavta. Erase me from the sefer that you have written. Erase me from the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, if you're not going to save Klal Yisrael, then I don't want my name mentioned in the Torah either. Now the truth is that Hashem saved Klal Yisrael. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in the Torah. But there's a klal that when a chacham says something harsh like that, even if the Tanai is Niskayim, Kilal Aschacham Afilu Al Tanaihiba, even if it ends up that his conditions are met, there's going to be some remnant of the harsh words that the tzaddik spoke. And since Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned the concept of erasing me from the Torah, the erasure of Moshe from the Torah happened in Parshas Tetzaveh. In Parshas Tetzaveh, Moshe is not mentioned. Even though Klal Yisrael was saved, but it's a outgrowth, the way the Baal HaTurim says, an outgrowth of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said, erase me, was that in some place in the Torah, Moshe was erased. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu's name not being mentioned in the whole Parshas Tetzaveh. So the obvious question is, why Parshas Tetzaveh? That's what was bothering me. Why Parshas Tetzaveh? There's a lot of Parshas from Shemayis till the end of the Torah. Why did Hashem say, Parshas Tetzaveh, that's where we're not going to have Moshe's name? Why wasn't Parshas Boaz Chana? Why not Parshas Shoftim? Why Parshas Tetzaveh? So we'll get back to these two interesting points. We'll get back to the end of the shir. Now let's focus in on the parsha itself. The first pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh is a very, very unique pasuk. In the realm of all the psukim that discuss the building of the Mishkan and the creation of the clothing of the Kehanim, this pasuk is unique. And it's a change from the whole Parshas Truma. The whole Parshas Truma, it says, Hashem says to Moshe, you should make, or they should make, an Aron, you should make a table, you should make a Mizbeach, you should, and so on and so forth, all the things it says that you should do. Over here, the idea over there wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu actually did it. We know the idea was that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the craftsmen what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu was the teacher, he taught the craftsmen exactly what to do. Parshas Tetzaveh starts, Ve'ata Tetzaveh Esmei Yisrael, and you should command Klal Yisrael. I mean, everything Moshe Rabbeinu was commanding Klal Yisrael. That's how Klal Yisrael found it out. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them. And yet the Klal Yisrael calls it a double Neichachos. There's a double you, because Tetzaveh means you should command. Ve'ata Tetzaveh means, and you should command. Like, it seems to be a tremendous Hadgasha, tremendous, it stands out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demand that Moshe Rabbeinu, specifically Moshe Rabbeinu, should command. Even though everything came through Moshe Rabbeinu. But there seems to be something unique here. Moshe Rabbeinu should command. The Ata Tetzaveh. Furthermore, you're just reading on in the Pasuk, it says that where should Klal Yisrael bring the oil? Where should they bring it? The Yikhu, and they should take it, Eilecha, to you. And that's interesting, because there's a word v'yikhu also in Parshas Truma. In Parshas Truma it says, tell the Yidden to bring gold and silver and copper and all these things to build the Mishkan. And it says v'yikhu li Truma. Hashem says they should bring for me a donation. Hashem tells Moshe, let them bring me a donation. And then at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, Hashem says, let them bring you oil. Why the changeover? Why the focus on Moshe? It's for Hashem. Furthermore, the oil was mentioned already in Parshas Truma as V'yikhuli, says Shemen Lamor. So if you look in the Ramban and the Sfarno that's bothered them, these are obvious problems when you're reading if you read through from the beginning of Parshas Truma till the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, you'll get stuck here. These are obvious problems in the Pasuk. And they say that there was a specific, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted specifically by the oil of the menorah, that it should specifically be a mitzvah that comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu should command it, and it should come through Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramban says, I think it was the Ramban, one of the Mefarshim say that they had to bring the oil to Moshe to check if it was really pure enough. Moshe Rabbeinu would like check over the oil, the Yikhu Eilecha. And there's a Medrash Tanchuma, just to make it a little bit stronger, the Medrash Tanchuma says, Ve'ata Tetzaveh, Hashem said Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you're the king. And a king means that if you command, people have to listen to you. Make a commandment, make them bring you oil. That's what the Medrash Tanchuma says. And all of this is very thought-provoking. That we have the whole building of the Mishkan, We have the Aron and the Menorah and the Mizbeach and the Lechem Aponim and the Mizbeach HaKetores and all these buildings of the Mishkan. But specifically, when we're talking about the oil to light the Menorah, specifically there, we need there to be a command from Moshe to Klal Yisrael, specifically, that we bring out the point very, very strongly. Moshe should command Klal Yisrael. Why we wake up here with the oil? Suddenly with the oil, we're all concerned that Moshe should command. Moshe is the king. He should give a command. What's going on with this oil? It's important to know whenever you learn about the Mishkan that the Mishkan wasn't just a home for Hashem, like we say, even though on the simplest level, that's what they were building, but that all goodness and all shefa and all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bringing down his affecting the world and blessing the world and feeding the world and all the everything that's channeled down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world came through the Mishkan. That's why there was bread in the Mishkan, which represented all the sustenance that had to exist in the world. And so on. So when we look at the Mishkan, and we say different remazim, different hints, and different ideas that different things in the Mishkan represent, they're not just... poetic comparisons to different ideas, but they actually represent those ideas. The Lechem Aponim was not a poetic... When we talk about the Lechem Aponim, it's not a, you know, it's like poetry, like there was bread in the Mishkan, and I also need bread. It's not like a coincidental thing. The Lechem Aponim actually was the source of the sustenance. Any bread that was on anybody's table all over the world had its shayrish in the Lechem Aponim. That's where it started from. So what does the light of the Menorah represent? So there's a pasuk, famous pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam. The pasuk says that the ner, the candle, the light of Hashem, is the neshama, is the soul of man. Ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam. So the Sfarim tell us that what that means is that the Menorah represents the Kedusha, the holiness of the soul of a Yid. That's what's represented by the Menorah. The Kedusha of the Neshama, Ki Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. That's why everyone knows that the Menorah has to do with Chachma, with knowledge, with Torah. Because a person learns Torah and appreciates Chachma with his neshama. Who awakened the neshama of Klal Yisrael? Who gave Klal Yisrael the Kedusha of their neshama? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu provided for Klal Yisrael the holiness of their neshama. How did he do that? By giving them the Torah. Without the Torah, the neshama is devoid, it's empty. And by Moshe Rabbeinu giving them the Torah, he awakened the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. That's why we say, we've mentioned this before, that's why we say, Shakul Moshe Keneged Klal Yisrael. That Moshe is considered to be like, if you the way the Gemara says it, is that Moshe is Keneged the entire Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says a story, one of the Tanoim said a story, he wanted to wake up his Talmidim, he said there was a woman in Mitzrayim who gave birth to 600,000 children. So the Talmidim all woke up. He said, "That's Moshe Rabbeinu, who's like he's like 600,000 Yidden. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's mother. When she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like she gave birth to 600,000 Yidden." But the idea was, it wasn't just a play on words. The idea was because Moshe Rabbeinu provided the spirituality and the ruchnius to grow to 600,000 Yidden. He was the neshama for 600,000 Yidden. And we find that Moshe Rabbeinu had this effect on Yidden. Moshe Rabbeinu had this effect that he was able by being there and by being close to Klal Yisrael, he was able to bring out their neshama. He was able to bring out their kedusha. A few examples. Last week's parsha, 2 weeks ago's. We're moving along already. 3 weeks ago's parsha. Parsha's Beshalach. The end of Parsha's Beshalach, there's a Melchemes Amalek. So they go to war with Amalek. And they're going to lose the war. They're going to lose the war, except for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu stands on the top of a mountain, and he lifts up his hands. And when he lifts up his hands, that provides the chizuk for Klal Yisrael to strengthen their emunah in Hashem, and they win the war. And if Moshe Rabbeinu's hands go down, then that extra added strength that Moshe Rabbeinu provides was not there, and they would start losing the war. And Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands again, so that again, that motivated them and provided that extra strength for them to strengthen their belief and their holding on to Hashem, and then they were able to win the war. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu had this effect on Yidden, that by his being there and by him directing them, they were able to strive to the greatest heights of Emunah. There's a famous Gemara, that the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, V'atah Yisrael, and now Klal Yisrael. What does Hashem want from you already? He just wants you to have fear of Him. He just wants you to have Yirat Shamayim. What does He want from you already? So the Gemara says, is fear of Shamayim such an easy thing? Atu Yirat Milsa Zutrasahi? Is fear of Shamayim such an easy thing? So the Gemara says, in. Lagabe Moshe Milsa Zutrasahi. Yes. For Moshe, it's an easy thing. That's the simple way of reading the Gemara that most people read it. But the Mefarshim say that that's not the way to read it. The answer was, in, yes. Legabe Moshe, when you're with Moshe, then it's easy to have fear of Hashem. As anybody who spent time in the presence of a very big Yid knows that when you're with a Tzaddik, when you're with a Talmud Chacham, it's very easy to have Yirat Shamayim. It's when you're out of the presence of a Talmud Chacham, that's when it's a challenge. But in, legabe Moshe, when you're with Moshe, yeah, then it's easy. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, when I'm here, it's not so hard to have Yirat Shamayim, I'm helping you out. What does Hashem want from you? Just have Yirat Shamayim. And when you're with me, when you're Lagabe Moshe, when you're with Moshe, Milsa Zutrasi, it's not so hard to have Yirat Shamayim. Again, the effect that Moshe Rabbeinu has, that his presence amongst Klal Yisrael, brings up their level of Yirat Shamayim. And on the flip side, what happens as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu leaves town? What happens as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shamayim for 40 days? He comes back and he finds an ego. When Moshe Rabbeinu is not there anymore, it becomes hard for Klal Yisrael to maintain that level of Emunah in Hashem. Anybody who teaches Torah, whether it's a Rebbe teaching in a yeshiva, or if it's someone doing kiruv, or someone even on the side just teaching Torah to somebody else, is capable of making a tremendous mistake. And the mistake that he might make is to think that this person doesn't know anything about Torah. So he's an empty vessel, it's completely empty, and you are providing him with spirituality. It's a very nice feeling, but it's wrong. A Rebbe, a Moshe Rabbeinu, someone who's being makarav a yid, someone who's influencing a yid, is not introducing ruchnius to that person. That's not what he's doing. He's awakening the inherent ruchnius that already exists in that person. Every single yid has within him tremendous reservoirs of spiritual strength. Every yid, by nature of the fact that he's a yid, he has tremendous, tremendous ruchnius inside of him. What he needs the Rebbe for is that the influence of the Rebbe should help him bring out his own strength. He's not just receiving from the Rebbe. That's not a permanent thing. What makes the growth of a person permanent is that the Rebbe motivates the person's own strength, the person's own ruchnius. It's a big mistake if a Rebbe thinks that this person has no spirituality, has no ruchnius whatsoever, and I'm providing it to him. That's not a good Rebbe, because he's missing the boat about his Talmud. He's confusing. He doesn't understand who he's teaching. Any person that teaches another yid has to realize that he's teaching a person who's full of spirituality, full of ruchnias, brimming over with ruchnias, but that person can't access it right now. And the Rebbe provides the tools and the inspiration to allow a person to access his own ruchnias. So when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, and Klal Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu pointing up to Shemayim, and they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching them, and they're close to Hashem, and so on, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't brainwashing them. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't giving them a level of ruchnius that wasn't theirs. Moshe Rabbeinu was inspiring them to bring their own level higher. Moshe Rabbeinu was inspiring them to connect even deeper with the spirituality that already rested inside of them. When someone's with Moshe and he has more Yiras Shemayim, it's not because Moshe Rabbeinu has a hypnotic effect on people around him, that they believe different things. It's because the inspiration of having Moshe Rabbeinu next to us brings out our own spiritual strength, and we become Yiras Shemayim. That's the proper relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, that the Rebbe awakens the true Ruchnius inside the Talmud. About 10 years ago, on Tisha B'Av, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and my Rosh Hashiva has a minig every year, that after Chatzos, when you can sit on chairs, a bunch of the Talmidim of the Yeshiva come into his office, and he sits for hours and hours and hours, and he just reads Medrash Eicha. He just reads it, and he teaches it. He doesn't say a lot of Torah, but it's like a very appropriate way to spend Tisha B'Av, just going through the Midrashim about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's an unforgettable experience. And there's a medrash there, I didn't see it today, but there's a medrash there that says that some of the Amoraim were talking about something, about a pasuk, and they asked an old man to tell them pshat, and he said an amazing pshat. So that inspired my Rosh Hashiva to say the following story. He said that there were a bunch of tremendous Talmid Chacham sitting around the table once, and talking and learning. One of them was Rabbi Kiva Eiger, I think one of them was the Mesivas, I think there were a few others, I don't remember the names. There were a bunch of tremendous the Ga'inei Olam sitting around talking and learning. And they had a kasha. And you can imagine a kasha flying around the table like that. You know, everyone there has the entire Shas and Yerushalmi and Safra and Safri and Tosefta at their fingertips. Every Tosus and Shas is on the table. Every Rajman Shas is on the table. And they're talking about a kasha. You can imagine that this kasha's got full treatment. And they brought up a kasha and they could not answer the question. And the greatest minds of the generation were working on this question, and they could not answer the question. A bacher comes to the door, comes in, and Rabbi Kiveger says to the bacher, "No, we're discussing a question. Let me ask you the question. Answer the following question." He asks him the question. Boom, the guy answers the question in a second. So everyone was matmiya. The greatest minds of the generation couldn't answer this question. This young kid walked in. Boom, 1 minute, he answered the question. So somebody there said about Rabbi Kiveger, because if Rabbi Kiveger would tell a rock to answer the question, it would be able to answer the question. So he said, the power of having Rabbi Kiveger say, "Answer that question," brings out a power of intellect in a person and a connection and an inspiration inside a person. He said, a rock would have been able to answer the question. Imagine Rabbi Kiveger saying, "Answer this question, you'll answer the question." But that's the job of a Rebbe. That answer this question, that's the job of a Rebbe. That through him commanding, through him instructing, through him teaching, it brings out the powers of my own intellect and my own neshama, my own ruchnias. It brings me to a higher level. It doesn't make me into someone I'm not, but it makes me truer to myself. And since the menorah is a discussion of the neshama of Klal Yisrael, so that's why there's a special hakpada there. The Ata Tetzaveh, you Moshe Rabbeinu, who provides the ruchnias to Klal Yisrael. You're the one who's the transmitter of the conduit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirituality to Klal Yisrael. You command Klal Yisrael. And you know what's going to happen if you command them? The Ata Tetzaveh, like Rabbi Kiveger talking to the rock. You command Klal Yisrael. You know what's going to happen? The Yikchu Eilecha, they will bring to you. They're going to respond, because Talmidim respond. Students respond to the command of their Rebbe. The v'yikra lecha shemen zayezach, the purest oil. The purest of the pure is going to flow to the top. If it's v'ata tetzaveh, if you command. V'ata tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, you command it, you instruct them, you lead them, you guide them. V'yikru eilecha, and then they will bring to you, that you're going to affect them, that they're going to bring to you on their own. Their own kedusha is going to be awakened. You're going to light the fires inside of them. And v'yikru eilecha, they will bring to you shemen zayezach, the purest oil. In this menorah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Moshe Rabbeinu to light the fires of ruchnias and the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. The Sfas brings, I think, B'Shem Chidushei Orim, that when a person has to do a mitzvah, we don't realize how much holiness is involved in a mitzvah. If we would realize it, we'd be too scared to do mitzvahs. We'd say, how could we? We don't have. We're not so holy. We could do such a mitzvah to take shake a lulav, to make kiddush on Shabbos, to say Kriya Shema. We could do such a mitzvah. Put on tzitzis. He says, when we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, Hashem sanctified us with His mitzvahs and He commanded us. That gives us the strength to do the mitzvah. It's the same v'ata tetzava v'tzivanu. I'm doing this mitzvah. I don't feel like I have the ruchniyistic strength to do it. But Hashem commanded me to do it. And if Hashem commanded me to do it, that inspires me. And that brings out more spiritual strength than I even thought I had. So before we do a mitzvah, we say, Hashem sanctified us with His mitzvahs. Kedushanu mitzvahs v'tzivanu. And He commanded me to do it. And that gives us the strength to be able to do a mitzvah. By recognizing that if Hashem commanded me to do it, I must have the power within me to be able to do it. Then we become like that rock that Rikiv Eger says to answer Rakasha. Hashem commanded me to do it, I'm going to do it. The Pasuk in Navi calls the Mabel, calls the flood, Mei Noach, the waters of Noach. They weren't His waters, as we're all aware, they were Hashem's waters, and they were a tremendous punishment to the world. Noach was saved from those waters, but what made them His waters? So Chazal talk about this question, and Chazal say that it's to blame him a little bit for the Mabel. They're His waters, in other words, you know, sometimes you have a kid makes trouble, so the wife tells the husband, your kid is such and such and such, it's your kid too. Yeah, but when you want to blame the husband, so then you say, it's your kid did such and such. So Hashem calls it Mei Noach, it's the waters of Noach. It's His fault a little bit. Why is it His fault? Because Hashem came to Noach and He said, I'm going to destroy the world. Noach was very upset. Hashem said, but don't worry, I'm going to save you and your family. It's okay, so Noach was fine. He didn't say, one second, but the whole world is going to be destroyed. Let me do something for them. Save them. Help them do tshuva, something. He wasn't meiser nefesh. It didn't hurt him deeply enough that the rest of the world is going to be destroyed. Kivan sheshama, Chazal say, when he heard that his family will be saved, he was all right. Okay, at least my family will be saved. And that was considered a taina on Noach. And therefore the waters of the Mabel are called Mei Noach, the waters of Noach. Because he should have stepped up to the plate and told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, I can't let you do this. Please don't destroy the world. But instead, he was like, okay, fine, you're saving my family, we have a deal. Chazal continue, and they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, and let's not forget the Chassam Sofer that we started with, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of Noach. He was coming to fix up Noach's mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said exactly the same thing to Moshe as he said to Noach. He said, let me destroy the whole class, but I'll save you. I'll make you into a great nation. Don't worry, relax, I'll save you. What was Moshe's response? If you're not going to save Klal Yisrael, don't save me either. Erase me from the Sefer. Mesiris Nefesh, Moshe stepped up to the plate. Mesiris Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Mecheni, erase me. A big Talmud Chacham once pointed out that the word Mecheni has in it the letters Mei Noach. Mecheni and Mei Noach are the same letters. Mecheni, Mem Ches, Nun Yud, rearrange it, it's Mei Noach. Because this was a tikkun, this was a kapara for the Mei Noach, for the mistake that Noach made. And for that it was called Mei Noach. So, the Baal HaTurim says that in Parashas Tetzave, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. Because he said Mecheni. It's a little bit strange. Gedal Yeshur asks this question and others. It's a little bit strange. Saying Mecheni, though, is one of the most unbelievable things Moshe Rabbeinu ever did. And he's punished by his name not being mentioned in Parashas Tetzave. He shouldn't be punished. He should be held on a pedestal for that. He was ready to give up his life to try to save Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to save you and I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Moshe could have said, okay, that's fine. And he didn't. He said, if you're going to destroy Klal Yisrael, destroy me also. My life is intertwined with that of Klal Yisrael. It's inseparable. That's a beautiful thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. He was ready to give up his life in his attempt to save Klal Yisrael. To give up his being mentioned in the Torah. And he's punished by his name not being mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. So the Sfarim say an unbelievable Yisoid. Unbelievable Yisoid. A person's name is his identity. It's his Mahus. When Moshe Rabbeinu, it's so incredible, it's hard to say. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheni nami sifrecha asher kasavti, erase me. I don't want to exist. The Klal Yisrael doesn't exist. What he was saying is, I have no identity. My identity is serving Hashem and teaching Klal Yisrael. That's my identity. I don't have any hobbies on the side. My whole existence is Klal Yisrael. My whole existence is to provide spirituality to Klal Yisrael. If you're going to destroy Klal Yisrael, destroy me. I have no existence. Mecheni nami sifrecha, I don't exist. I am, my whole purpose, I was created and I exist just because I'm the teacher of Klal Yisrael. You take away my students, erase me. The fact that he's not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Sfarim say, is not a punishment, but it's the greatest reward in the world. He's not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh because he became completely bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is an absolute shliach of Hashem. There's nothing besides for his being shliach of Hashem. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Our name is each one has our own identity. And we serve Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have his own identity and he served Hashem. His identity was the words that he was telling Klal Yisrael in the name of Hashem. That was his identity. There is no Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was zayicha to that because he said, I don't have. If it's not going to be a Klal Yisrael, then I don't exist. Don't make me into a great nation. My whole existence is that of Klal Yisrael. And that of teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. If you're going to erase me, if you're going to destroy Klal Yisrael, I don't exist. The reward for that, we keep saying punishment, the reward for that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Tetzaveh doesn't mention the name Moshe. We know he's talking to Moshe, V'ata Tetzaveh, and you, we know that you is Moshe. But he doesn't mention the name of Moshe because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is announcing to all generations that Moshe Rabbeinu was such an unbelievable shliach of Hashem, he was such an unbelievable Rebbe to Klal Yisrael, that his entire identity became that of Klal Yisrael and that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. Every word that Hashem says that landed up in the ears of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the ears of Klal Yisrael, was Moshe Rabbeinu. But we don't even mention the transfer to Moshe and then to Klal Yisrael. We don't mention that name Moshe because he was such a 100% shliach that it was like as if it went direct from Hashem to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't misrepresented. It wasn't explained differently. It was no other cheshbonus. What Hashem wanted is what was given over to Klal Yisrael. Moshe was an absolute Eved Hashem. And therefore he had the merit of his name not being mentioned in the Parshas Tetzaveh. So now what we have to do is tie together the pieces. Parshas Tetzaveh, the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, which is about lighting the neiros on the menorah, is about how the Rebbe's relationship with his Talmud is such that through him being mitzvah, through him instructing, it brings out the ruchnius of his Talmidim. This is the time to talk about what kind of a Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu was. What kind of a Rebbe was he? The Mishnah says that if your Rebbe is doma to a Malach Hashem, then you should be Mavakish Torah from him. If your Rebbe is like a Malach, then you should be Mavakish Torah from him. Moshe Rabbeinu was like a Malach. How do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was like a Malach? That Moshe Rabbeinu was so Ibergegeben, was so given over to teaching his Talmidim, to teaching Klal Yisrael, that he had no other life besides for that. His whole existence was that of teaching Klal Yisrael. That we see from the fact that he said, Mecheni na, that he said, erase me. And therefore his name wasn't mentioned. So Shai, your question, why Dafka Parshas Tetzaveh? Because this is the Parsha that discusses Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Klal Yisrael. So this is the parasha where we see the godless of what kind of a Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu was. He was such an unbelievable Rebbe that he said, erase me from the Sefer Torah. If there's not going to be a Klal Yisrael, then I don't want to exist either. That's the kind of Rebbe he was. The place to not mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name because he's completely battled to Hashem is in the place where we're discussing the type of Rebbe that Moshe Rabbeinu was. The Ata Tetzaves B'nei Yisrael, you command Klal Yisrael, and you'll see they'll bring to you the purest of oils. They'll bring out the purest of ruchnias. And that's why Dafka over here we have the remez that Moshe is the Gilgal of Noach. We said Noach Sheis Ve'ata. Dafka over here because this is where he fixed up Noach's mistake. In the rest of the Torah, it's not relevant. There are other Ramazan, but all over the Torah, it's not relevant for us to know that Moshe is a Gilgal of Noach. What do I have to know that for? But over here, with this Mecheni Nami Sivricha, Moshe Rabbeinu was fixing up Noach's mistake. And Parshas Tetzaveh is where he's rewarded for that. His name is not even mentioned in the Parshas Tetzaveh. So Parshas Tetzaveh starts with Noach Sheis Ve'ata. You're a Gilgal of Noach. And that's why your name is not mentioned in the Parshas Tetzaveh, because you said Mecheni, as opposed to the Mabel, which is called Mei Noach. And all this in the beginning of a parsha that discusses the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Klal Yisrael, how he was able to bring out, through his being the kind of Rebbe that he was able to bring out the greatest ruchnius in Klal Yisrael.